तोया
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञान तिमिर कृष्ण सो वी वुड लाइक टू वेलकम ऑल दी डिवोटीज एंड गेस्ट्स फॉर आवर वीकली संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम सो द सब्जेक्ट मैटर दैट वी हैव चोजन फॉर आवर डिस्कशन टुडे इज द 10 टॉपिक्स दैट आर डिस्कस्ड इन द श्रीमद् भागवतम इन द चैतन्य चरितामृत श्रील कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी एक्सप्लेन्स माया मुग्ध जीवेर नाही स्वत कृष्ण ज्ञान जीवेर कृपया कैला व्यास वेद पुराण माया मुग्ध जीवेर नाही स्वतः कृष्ण ज्ञान बीन कंप्लीटली अब्सॉर्ब्ड इन द मटेरियल एनर्जी द लिविंग एंटिटी हैज फॉरगॉटन हू ही इज द लिविंग एंटिटी हैज फॉरगॉटन हू कृष्णा इज हू गॉड इज एंड इन द फॉरगेटफुलनेस ऑफ हिज आइडेंटिटी एंड इन फॉरगेटफुलनेस ऑफ गॉड द लिविंग एंटिटी इज सफरिंग the material miseries in this creation jivera kripaya koila vyasa veda puran simply to have his causeless mercy on the living entities shri vyasadev has compiled the vedas and the puranas thus any living entity who wants spiritual emancipation any living entity who wants to be freed from the material pangs of this creation he has to take shelter of the scriptures as presented by Shripad Vyasadeva. However, the range of the Vedic literatures, the entire gamut of Vedic literatures is very exhaustive. There are the 108 Upanishads, the 18 Puranas, the Mahabharata, the Vedanta Sutra, and a living entity in this age of Kali Yuga, a common man in this age of Kali Yuga, is seldom, or I would say never find, going to find any time to study all of these Vedic literatures. Thus, it is explained that the essence of all the Upanishads is the Bhagavad Gita. And therefore the Bhagavad Gita is called as the Gita Upanishad. And the essence of all the Puranas is the Bhagavat Mahapuran. If all the Vedic scriptures are compared to a tree, then Srimad Bhagavatam is just like the mature fruit that has risen on the tree. A person does not go to a tree to eat its leaves or its bark. A person must always be interested in the fruit that grows on the tree. Similarly, an intelligent person does not want to waste his time in simply studying the different Vedic literatures which are like the tree and the leaves of the tree. But an intelligent person will always focus his mind, his attention and his life's energy in trying to understand the ripened fruit. The Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Gita Upanishad has got 5 topics. Ishvara or God, Jiva or the living entity, Prakriti, material nature, Kala, time and Karma or the activities of living entities. These are the 5 topics discussed in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 topics that are discussed. And in the next 1 hour, 1 hour, 15 minutes, we shall try to get a brief summary, a brief overview of what is discussed in this 12-cantoed, 18-volumed literature called the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami, who is a speaker of the Bhagavatam, is telling Maharaj Parikshit, who is the Shrota, who is the listener, the hearer, as to what are the 10 topics mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami explains, Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanamupaya manvantaras ishanukatha nirodho muktirashraya. First we shall list the 10 topics and then we shall take them one by one. First is sarga. Sarga means the primary creation of this universe. The primary creation of this entire cosmic manifestation. Second is Visarga. Visarga means creation of this universe on a secondary level. Secondary creation. Sarga, primary creation. Visarga, secondary creation. Sthanam. Sthanam means maintenance of the people living within this universe. Fourth is Poshanam. Poshanam means specifically maintenance and protection of devotees. Fifth is Utayah. Utayah means the creative impetus or the desire to enjoy. Sixth is Manvantara. The different Manvantara avatars are explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Seventh is Ishanukatha. Ishanukatha means the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that are to be heard and chanted by every living being. Nirodho. Nirodho means pralaya or annihilation of the creation. Mukti. Mukti means liberation from this material creation. And finally, ashraya or the samam bonam. Seems very technical. Seems very hard to digest in the beginning. But I'll try to make the subject matter as simple as possible so that each of us can understand what the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. And all the 12 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam speak of these 10 subject matters dispersed in several different cantos. So the first is Sarga or primary creation. Very often, you know, in Hindi movies they have this song, Duniya Banane Wale, Kahe Kya Tere Dil Mein Samayi, Kahe Ko Duniya Banayi. Right. What was there in the heart of the creator when he created this material creation? What is the purpose of this material creation? So one time one communist came to India, and when the communist was on his way back home, he was at the international terminal in Mumbai. And one person who was just sitting close by to the communist asked him, what is your realization after having visited India? He said, my realization is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Indian man asked, how did you come to this conclusion? The communist said, I went to several different temples in India. And in every temple I saw, every particular deity is engaged in some activity. Lord Shiva is holding a Trishul, Durga is holding a Trishul, all the different deities are holding some weapons and engaged in some activity. But when it comes to Krishna, simply standing and holding the flute, enjoying life, that is why I have concluded that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because God is not he who is engaged in some affairs of this world. He who is the supreme enjoyer is said to be God. Thus Krishna being the supreme enjoyer, he does not have to engage in the affairs of creating this universe at all. One time there was a man who was going in a car, and as he was passing by a field, the wheel of his car got stuck up in a pothole, in a puddle. And there were two men who were sitting close by in the fields. Immediately they came and they helped the man out of the pothole. And the man was very happy. He gave them a 100 rupee note and said, thank you very much. If you would not have been here, right, then I would have been stuck here for good. Thank you very much for coming and relieving me. So the man asked back to these two men, by the way, what do you do for your living? He said, what do we do for living? Once your car goes, then we dig another pothole and pour a lot of water and make a puddle there. That is what I do for my living. Right. So a person of this world creates a situation to disturb others and thus make a living. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he creates this material universe not to make a living, but he creates a material universe so that all the living beings be rectified and they go back and make a living with Krishna in the spiritual world. So therefore, Krishna doesn't have to create the material universe himself. Krishna has his two-handed form. From Krishna comes Balaramji, who is also two-handed. From Balaramji come four personalities, who are called the Chaturviva, and they are all four-handed. Vasudeva, Sankarshana, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. All of these are called Chaturviva. From these 400 Vishnu incarnations come one more Vishnu incarnation called Narayan. And then from this Narayan comes one more set of 4 incarnations. Again, duplicate Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha and Pradyumna. Xerox copy, right? Exactly same. And from the Sankarshan of the second 4 comes a personality who is called as Mahavishnu. Krishna, Balaram, Chaturvyuha, Narayan, Chaturvyuha and then Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is lying in an ocean called Karan Sagar or Causal Ocean. And when Mahavishnu breathes out, from Mahavishnu's body comes out several universes. Millions of universes come out from the millions of pores of the body of Mahavishnu. And what is Mahavishnu doing? Mahavishnu is simply sleeping in Yoga Nidra. Simply sleeping and desiring, and the creation is coming into existence from his pores. If we are sleeping and we want to create something, it is not possible. If we sleep, we can only destroy something. From Mahavishnu's pores, universes come out. From our pores, sweat comes out. Right. And that sweat is only a little tiny droplet. Right. But Mahavishnu is sleeping and all the universes are coming out of his body. Srila Prabhupada would tell one story that one time there was a man and he got a pot of wheat flour, atta. So he had a hanging rafter in his house. He put that atta pot on the hanging rafter and he was sleeping. And in his sleep he was thinking, in his dream, now I have a pot of atta. And now very soon I will go and sell this pot of atta to the grocer and get money and then buy 2 pots of atta. And then I will sell atta and make a business of atta and become a big businessman. Then I will have a lot of money. After I have a lot of money, I will build a big house. And then I will have all the facilities and gadgets in my house. And then I shall marry. I will marry the most beautiful woman in the village. And once I am married, then I will have my wife at home. And I can tell my wife what I like. One day I will tell my wife, I want to eat pakodas. Why don't you make pakodas for me? And my wife will say, no, I cannot make pakoda for you. And when she says no, then I will kick her on her face. And saying so in the dream, this man kicked at the pot of atta. And the pot of atta was broken and all his dream was smashed. So our dreams, our sleep is associated with destruction. But the sleep of Lord Mahavishnu, Yoga Nidra, is associated with creation of this material universe. One time His Holiness Jayadvait Swami Maharaj was talking to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was saying, you are all running this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON. I am nothing. I am an old man sitting in one place and simply dreaming, that's all. Jayadvait Maharaj replied back and said, Srila Prabhupada, definitely, it is true that you are dreaming, but your dream is like the dream of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is dreaming, sleeping, and the creation of this cosmic manifestation takes place. Srila Prabhupada, you are dreaming and the creation of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness takes place. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki!
Jai!
Right. Simply by Srila Prabhupada's desire, this entire International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, has come into existence. So Mahavishnu, he creates this material universe, all the universes come out. And the process of creation can be explained through a very simple example in 4 different steps. Just like if any building is to be built, what is the first thing that is required? Plan, right? A plan, a purpose is required, right? First is a plan, and the plan is called Swarupena Pradhan, right? In Sanskrit. Second is, once you have the plan, what else do we need? We need materials, bricks, cements, water. This in Sanskrit is called Upadan. Right? You have the plan, you have the materials, what else do we need? We need engineers, a working crew, who is going to put all of these things together and build the building. Right? That in Sanskrit is called Nimitta Yavat. Right. And most important of all is, what is the purpose of the building? That is called Artha Vishesh. Just like, if I have bricks, cement, water, But if I don't know what is the purpose of the building, will I be able to make a building? First, I have to decide what is the purpose. Is it going to be a garage? Is it going to be a residential apartment? Is it going to be a hotel? Is it going to be a bakery? Depending on the purpose, the plan is made. So first is the purpose, second is the plan, third is materials, and fourth is a working crew, a team of engineers and masons. Right. Similarly, in the creation of this material universe, the first thing that is needed is a purpose. What is the purpose of creating this material universe? The purpose of creating this material universe is to rectify the criminal attitude of each of us. Just like the construction of a prison is meant for rectifying the criminal's criminal attitude. Similarly, this world is just like a prison, and this prison is meant for rectifying the criminal attitude of each of us. We have gone against the Lord and come here, that is our crime. And this place is meant for rectifying the crime. So the purpose of this creation is very clear, artha vishesha. Now once the purpose is clear, then comes the plan, the swarupena pradhan. Just imagine, you know, if you have to build a prison, the purpose is to build a prison, and you take nice bricks and build the prison and plaster it very well, and there are nice paintings on the walls, and you also fit an air conditioner along with it. Right. And you make a nice soft couch to lie on. No. The moment you make a prison house, you make it dark and gloomy. There is hardly any light, so the plan is drawn. The engineer is told, see that the window is only 5 centimeters by 5 centimeters, because there should be not much light that will enter in. The moment the purpose is clear, the plan is made. If the purpose of this creation is to rectify the criminal attitude of the residents here, automatically the plan will also be like that. And what is the plan on paper, the blueprint of this universe? It is meant to give suffering. The form, the shape, the quality of this world is, it is meant to give us suffering. Now the plan is ready. It will be made in such a way that each of us are only going to go through suffering, distress and misery. Then comes the third thing. What is the third thing? The ingredients, the materials. What are the materials for the creation of this universe? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Just like to make this building you need bricks and cements, to create this universe you need earth, water, fire, air and ether. All these three things are done by God Krishna in his incarnation as Mahavishnu. What are the three things? First is Swarupena Pradhan, or the plan. Second is the purpose, or the artha vishesh. And third is the ingredients, or the upadan. Everything is provided by the Supreme Lord. Therefore he is called as the primary creator of this universe. So primary creation or sarga includes these three things. A plan, a purpose and the ingredients for creation of this universe. As soon as Mahavishnu's job is over, correct? Now the purpose is clear, punishment. The plan is clear, made for suffering. The ingredients are clear, earth, water, fire, air and ether. Now comes the second topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the second topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Visarga, or secondary creation. And who is involved in the secondary creation? The working crew, or the Nimitta Yavat. Out of the four things required, the first three come in primary creation, and the fourth, Nimitta Yavat, comes in secondary creation. Right. So what is the job of the working crew, and who is the working crew? So in the universe, Mahavishnu expands as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu comes a lotus flower, and on the lotus flower, the first living being in the universe is born, Brahmaji. Right. When Brahmaji is born, he is completely confused. The first created living being in the universe is completely confused. Does not know who he is, does not know where he has come from, does not know what he is supposed to do. Brahmaji hears the two syllables, ta and pa. and sits in meditation for 1,000 celestial years. And then Brahmaji is given knowledge by the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna how to do the assembly of all of these things. The plan is made, the purpose is given, the ingredients are also given. Just put them together now. Just like sometimes a father gives a child building blocks, right, to build a house, all different blocks. The father puts it in front of the child, and now the father says, come on my dear son, build. Krishna is like the father, and all the elements of this world are like the building blocks. Krishna tells his son Brahma, okay dear son, come on, begin your game now. All the building blocks are in front of you, now create. So Brahmaji takes all the elements and makes this material creation. Makes it into the 14 different planetary systems. The heavenly planets, the hellish planets, and the Bhuloka or the earth planetary systems. Right. That is the job of Brahma. Simply putting things together. And therefore Brahma is the creator, but the secondary creator. His job is only putting things together. And Brahmaji is very humble. He is a very great devotee of the Lord. He does not say, Maine dunya banai. Right. He does not, when he is asked, dunya kisne banai, he doesn't say, I made this world. He agrees, I only put it all together. Narad Muni, Brahmaji's son, comes to Brahma and asks Lord Brahma, my dear Lord, it appears that you are the creator of this universe. It appears that you are the maintainer and the destroyer of this universe. Is that true? Brahmaji, if anyone would come and tell us, how gratified we would feel. And immediately we would say, yes, yes, come. I have started my organization with my hand upraised. I am an incarnation of God. I am the creator of everything in this universe. Brahmaji does not say, I am God. What does Brahmaji say? Yena swarochisha vishvam rochitam rochamamyaham yatharkognir yatha somo yatharksha grahataraka. My dear son Narada, the moon which is in the sky gives light to the world. The stars which are studded in the sky also give light to the world. The different firmaments and planets in the sky also give light to the world. But my dear son Narada, that light does not belong to the moon. That light does not belong to the stars. The light of the moon or the stars is actually the light of the sun that is reflected through them. Just like the moon and the stars do not have their own light, my dear son Narada, I do not have my own power. Just like the moon and the stars simply reflect the light of the sun, similarly, my dear son, I simply reflect the power of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. I am not God. I have not created this universe. And each of us should have this humility that whatever we do and whatever we make is not our creation. We are simply given the intelligence and the ingredients like Brahmaji. And we put it together and we start saying, I made it. Right. The scientist is putting together all the different things. He is putting two molecules of hydrogen and one molecule of oxygen together and say, I invented water. Newton invented the law of gravity, as if apples were flying in the sky before Newton invented this law. No? It is God's laws. Right. It is He who has given intelligence. It is He who has given us everything. We are simply acting on a secondary level, putting it all together. One time Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles temple at Las Cienega Boulevard. We had our temple at this particular boulevard. And His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was the temple commander in the temple at that time. And Prabhupada was sitting and giving a lecture. And Srila Prabhupada said, in the entire creation, 3/4 creation is the spiritual world. Only 1/4 is this material creation. In this 1/4 material creation, there are millions of universes. Within those millions of universes, there is one universe. Within that one universe, there are millions of planets. Within those millions of planets, there is one planet called Earth. Within this Earth, there are 7 continents. And on this Earth, there is one subcontinent called North America. And in North America there are thousands of cities. And there is one city called Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles there are hundreds of different localities. There is one locality called La Cienega Boulevard. And La Cienega Boulevard is a large locality in which there is a small church that has been turned into a Hare Krishna temple. And in that little church, there is one person called Tamal Krishna Goswami sitting here and he is thinking he is very great. Right. He is thinking he is very great. Right. When we see ourselves in comparison to the entire creation, we realize our insignificance. Like Brahmaji is here expressing his insignificance. I am simply like a star or a moon reflecting the light of the sun. So that is the second topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam. How Brahma puts things together. That is called as Visarga. Now someone may argue and ask, Arey Prabhuji, firstly it is Sunday afternoon. It is so hot. We are tired of hearing this boring stuff. Why don't you start discussing some Krishna Leela? Janmashtami is coming soon. Tell us how Krishna stole butter. Tell us how Krishna danced with the gopis. Why this creation, primary, secondary? What is the purpose of discussing this? Right. The first 9 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam talk about these subject matters. And then in 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Leela comes, which is the summum bonum of the Srimad Bhagavatam. First one has to go through the austerity of hearing the 9 cantos. Brahma, Mahavishnu, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, stop, Baba, too boring. Right. Maja nahi aaya sunke. Right. Say, give us some exciting stuff. Right. Why does the Srimad Bhagavatam discuss about creation of this universe? Right. And there are 3 different angles to look at it. Why the Bhagavatam talks of creation and Visarga, and why should we hear about all of these things? The first is, one time there was a teacher, and the teacher told the student, Rascal, you are creating so much havoc and commotion in the class. When Jawaharlal Nehru was your age, he was the monitor of the class. And look, you are a backbencher. The student replied back, my dear teacher, when Jawaharlal Nehru was your age, he was the Prime Minister of India. And you are still a teacher in this school. Right. Correct. Which means, whenever we talk of a great personality, we refer to his childhood. He was the monitor. When he was 20 years old, he started an industry. When he was 25 years old, he started his own business. When he was 30 years old, he contested elections, and so on and so forth. And then when we are aware, hey, big man, huh? Great personality, then immediately we are willing to hear, so who was his girlfriend? Right. So what did he do when he was in college? We are interested in someone's personal life only when we know his greatness. No one is interested in knowing the personal life of Dawood Ibrahim. No one is interested in knowing the personal life of Arun Gawli. But everyone reads the story of my experiments with truth. Mahatma Gandhi. Jawaharlal Nehru's biography. Everyone wants to read. You see a greatness of a person, then you are interested in his personal life. Similarly, when we start hearing Krishna dancing with his girlfriends, the gopis, Krishna stealing butter, why the hell should he steal butter? Right. When I was doing the Gita course last week, one devotee came to me and was asking question that I conduct this children program in my house and my mother was telling children the story of Krishna stealing butter and now this boy is convinced that Krishna is a hardcore thief. And I have difficult time explaining how can I explain to the child, right, why Krishna stole butter. We cannot understand the personal life of Krishna unless we understand Krishna's greatness. Therefore, the first 9 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam systematically establish to us how Krishna is great, how Krishna is God, how Krishna is independent, how Krishna is the master, how Krishna is the controller. And then we say, Arey master, controller, owner of the universe stealing butter, he is not stealing, we are stealing his butter. Butter belongs to him. Right. Krishna dancing with 16,000 gopis, Krishna not dancing with others' wives, we dancing with others' wives, because they also belong to him. we start understanding Krishna's personal life better when it comes in the 10th canto. Therefore, first understand how Krishna creates, how Krishna maintains, then understand Krishna's Ras Lila and Makhan Chor Lila. And Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna's creation pastime is also his Leela. Just like he steals butter, that is his Makhan Chor Leela. He dances with the gopis of Vrindavan, that is his Ras Leela. Similarly, Krishna's creation is his Srishti Leela. But you want only Ras Leela. Prabhupada said, if you want Ras Leela, you are rascal. Right. You are simply a rascal if you want to hear Ras Leela. First hear the Srishti Leela of Krishna. First hear Sarga, then hear Visarga. Then finally when you are qualified, think of hearing about Ras Leela. And the third angle to look about it is that every person looks at any situation from his point of view. One time a politician went to the doctor and the doctor was thinking, how will I give his medical report? So the doctor gave a report to the politician in the language which he will understand. The doctor told the politician, the number of diseases in your body are increasing like the number of scams in the country. Your lungs are now making false promises and your heart has given a resignation letter. Right. That language he could understand. Right. Whatever is being spoken will be perceived by our level of understanding. Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching to the Westerners, in one lecture, he was talking about the spiritual world. And he was talking about spiritual world having Surabhi cows and Chintamani gems and Kalpavraksha trees. And all these Westerner hippies were wondering, what does Surabhi cow mean? There are many cows here, why we need cows there? There are many trees here, why we need trees there? Then Srila Prabhupada said, in the spiritual world there are no drafting boards. Because at that time Vietnam War was going on. And all the hippies, young hippies were being drafted. Although they didn't know how to fight, they were sent on the battlefield. As soon as Prabhupada said, spiritual world means no drafting boards, all the hippies gave a sigh of relief saying, ah, that is very good. We should go to the spiritual world. Right. So every person understands the situation according to his particular level. Thus, the materialistic people are not going to understand Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna's Leela. What are the materialistic people concerned about? They are simply concerned about the world they live in. What about this world? Talk about this world. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam very systematically speaks about this material world, this material creation, to catch the attention of the materialists in their terminology, in what they are interested. And then once they start paying attention to the creation, slowly, steadily, the dose of Srimad Bhagavatam is given to them. Therefore, the Sarga and the Visarga pastimes of the Lord are very important to be discussed so that we become qualified to discuss the personal life of Krishna. The third topic that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam is sthanam or maintenance. One time, a teacher asked a student, my dear son, the child was the son of a politician, so he asked the student, what is the difference between flood and famine? The son of the politician replied, the difference between flood and famine is the difference between sky and the earth. The teacher was surprised. What does it mean, difference between sky and the earth? Explain. So the student replied, difference between flood and famine means difference between sky and earth. Because whenever there is a flood, my father flies through a helicopter. And whenever there is a famine, my father drives a Mercedes Benz and goes there. So the difference between a flood and famine is the difference between the sky and the earth. Right. Politicians make big, big manifestos, big, big promises. We will give you this, we will give you that. In one village, a former prime minister went to a village. And when he reached the village, he was contesting elections. He said, give votes to me only. Humko hi apna vote dena. If you give us vote, one person raised his hand and said, Pantapradhan ji, aap Pantapradhan ke vote ke liye vote mang rahe hain. Hamare gaon mein bijli nahi hai. Said, ghar ghar mein bijli la denge. Hamare ghar mein pani nahi hai. Ghar ghar mein pani aa jayega. One person said, hamare gaon mein smashan bhumi nahi hai. He said, ghar ghar mein smashan bana denge. Right. Correct. All of these politicians they make false promises of maintenance. We will provide you this, we will provide you that. For 5 years they are in their seat and nothing comes. But when it comes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although all the living beings of this universe have gone against Him, yet the Supreme Lord takes charge of the maintenance of all living beings within this world. One time there was a grahastha, and according to the Vedic tradition, the grahastha is supposed to first go out and call out, anyone who wants food, there is food ready, please come and eat some food. Right. So the grahastha went and started shouting, food is ready, please come, unless you eat, I can't eat. So for a long time no one came. Finally he gave the last call, food is ready, anyone wants to eat, please come. So one man came and he greeted the man, made him sit, fed him very nicely, and as the man was feeding this guest, he was also talking about God. And after the man's stomach was filled, he said, I am an atheist, I do not believe in God, what you are talking about God, thank you for your food, goodbye now. And this devotee felt very bad. Just see, today I have fed an atheist, I should have fed a devotee of the Lord. And he started crying tears. As he was crying tears, the Supreme Personality of Godhead came. He was sitting next to this man and he started crying even loudly. He said, I am crying, okay, but why are you crying? He said, you are feeding only one atheist. I am feeding all the atheists in all the world every day. Right. You see, who should be crying? Not you, I should be crying. Correct. Because I am feeding all the atheists in this world. Whether one believes in God or not, God is maintaining every single living being within this creation. Just like when a child is born, sometimes the child is undernourished. Right? The child doesn't have enough supply of oxygen, can't breathe properly, and is malnourished. So there is an arrangement called an incubator. The child is put within the incubator. And within the incubator there is oxygen supply, there is water, whatever is necessary for the child is available in the incubator. Each of us within this world are just like an undernourished, malnourished child. We cannot take care of our necessities on our own. And the material world is like an incubator. Just like an incubator, all the necessities are provided for the maintenance of the child. Similarly, this world is like an incubator in which all the necessities for survival are provided. Therefore, in the 15th chapter of the Gita, Lord Krishna explains, I am the splendor of the sun. From me comes the splendor of the moon. I in the form of the rays of the moon, give taste to all vegetables. I am the fire of digestion within the stomach. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva. Just imagine, if Krishna is the fire of digestion, stops digestion in our stomachs, we cannot live. Just imagine if the sun or the moon does not rise, we cannot live in this world. Krishna has made sufficient arrangement for everyone within this world that he will be maintained. Therefore it is said, Panchi kare so chakri, ajgar kare so kaam, kehe gaya das maluka, data sabka ram. You don't find Panchi doing chakri, going and taking a 8-to-8 job. Ajgar kare so kaam, ajgar is so lazy, a python is just lying, does not do anything. But kehe gaya das maluka, data sabka ram. Lord Ram is the data and he is taking care of every living being within this world. Chiti ko kanbhar deta hai, hathi ko manbhar deta hai, wo dayanidhi sabki sudhi leta hai. An ant requires this much, kanbhar, and an elephant requires manbhar, and that kanbhar and manbhar is both provided by the Supreme Lord. Therefore Srila Prabhupada would always condemn this particular prayer. O Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Prabhupada said, what is this bread begging religion? Right. You don't have to go and ask for your daily bread. If the Lord is maintaining an ant, if the Lord is maintaining an elephant, will the Lord not maintain you? One doesn't have to go and practice this bread begging religion that, oh God, please give us this day our daily bread. So the third topic that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Sthanam. How the Lord provides everything for the maintenance of all living beings within this universe.
The fourth topic is Poshanam or special maintenance, special protection.
अरे जनता का कल्याण कर लिया,
but what about his favored ones, his devotees? And the more than about 80 to 90% of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Poshanam.
Right.
How Krishna maintains, nourishes and protects his devotees. Krishna is impartial. Krishna takes care of everyone. But when it comes to devotees, VIP treatment.
Right.
Mind you have made the right choice. Rohini Priya Prabhu gave the Sunday Feast class on making the right choice. Gaurang Prabhu gave a Sunday Feast class on making the right choice and using everything in Krishna's service. And I am reconfirming that each of you who have taken shelter of the Lord have made the right choice. Yehi hai right choice, Baba.
Right.
Correct. This is the right choice you have made. Correct. Because when you have made this right choice, you have become a VIP, very important personality for Krishna. And the example is given, just like if there is a furniture shop, and someone on the street who has a house goes to buy furniture, and the owner, a rich owner of the furniture shop, is sitting in the shop. As soon as he takes the furniture, he says, okay, no problem. Now you take this, tells his servant, dispatch this furniture to his house. But if the president of India comes,
right,
to buy the furniture, then he will tell to the servant, you don't go. I will personally go and dispatch this furniture to his house.
Correct.
All the people of this world are general janta. Krishna is the furniture shop wala.
Right.
He is the owner of this furniture shop. He provides everything to the living beings, but through Maya, through his servant, not directly. But when it comes to his devotee is VIP for him.
Right.
He considers his devotee so special that he says, Ananyaschintayanto mam ye jana pariupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahami aham. मैं अपने कंधे पर ले जाऊंगा. आई विल पर्सनली कैरी वॉट ही लैक्स एंड आई विल पर्सनली प्रिजर्व वॉट ही हैज. अ डिवोटी इज सच अ इंपॉर्टेंट पर्सनैलिटी फॉर कृष्णा दैट कृष्णा पर्सनली इंटरवीन्स, मेंटेन्स एंड प्रोटेक्ट्स द लाइफ ऑफ अ डिवोटी. जस्ट लाइक अ फर्नीचर वाला पर्सनली कैरीज द फर्नीचर टू द हाउस ऑफ अ प्रेजिडेंट, कृष्णा पर्सनली कम्स एंड प्रोवाइड्स ऑल द नेसेसिटीज फॉर हिज डिवोटीज. So Krishna's protection comes in four different ways. How Krishna protects his devotees? First is, Krishna protects the character of his devotees. Krishna does not want his devotee to ever be defamed. Krishna does not want his devotee to ever have a black spot on his character. And therefore any situation is there where his devotee's position is in a crisis, Krishna immediately comes to help him and resolve the crisis. And the classic example of this is when Maharaj Prithu was performing the 100 horse sacrifices, Indra was very envious. Indra thought, if he takes and performs the 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, he will take over my post as Indra. My post as Shatakratu, the performer of 100 sacrifices, will be lost.
Right.
Therefore, I should do something. Indra came and stole the sacrificial horse. Maharaj Prithu told his son, run, kill that imposter. What did Indra do? Indra took the garb of a sannyasi. And Maharaj Prithu's son thought, are sannyasi, how can I kill him? Therefore returned back. Again Maharaj Prithu performed the 100th, was about to perform the 100th. Again Indra stole the sacrificial horse. And this happened several times. At that time the Supreme Lord personally came and told Maharaj Prithu, no problem, let him have the post of Shatakratu. No problem, let him be Shatakratu. You do not perform this 100th sacrifice so that he will be peaceful. And Maharaj Prithu, being a Shaktyamesh avatar, he immediately complied and he did not engage in this 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. Thus the Lord saved Maharaj Prithu by being defamed. Because Maharaj Prithu would get the malice of killing Indra. But the Supreme Lord personally came and instructed Maharaj Prithu not to engage in such killing. Swayambhuva Manu personally was sent by the Supreme Lord to advise Dhruva Maharaj to stop the killing of the Yakshas. Because if he would have massacred these yakshas, Kuvera would be angry and Kuvera would curse Dhruva Maharaj. The Lord personally sent Swayambhuva Manu and arranged so that Dhruva Maharaj stops killing the yakshas. The second protection that the Lord gives his devotees is, the Lord protects the body of his devotee also. Arjuna is very famous for taking all kinds of extreme vows. Anytime anything happens, I will jump in fire. Right. If I don't kill Jayadratha today evening, I will jump in fire. So his body will be finished. But Krishna's vow is, I will always protect my devotee. Krishna even protects the body of his devotee. Therefore Krishna covers the sun and uncovers the sun to protect Arjuna. Right. Again Arjuna is sleeping and Bhishma has taken a vow that I'll kill all the 5 Pandavas. Krishna comes and wakes up Arjuna. Arjuna, come on, Bhishma is going to kill you tomorrow. What are you doing about it? He said, that is not my business. You have said you will protect your devotees. You take care of it. Let me sleep peacefully. Right. Krishna comes and personally protects Arjuna. Arjuna takes a vow. Mahavishnu kidnaps the 10 sons of the Brahmana and Arjuna takes a vow, if I don't return your sons by today evening, I will jump into fire. Loves this vow very much. Right, I will jump into fire. Till evening he cannot find the sons of Brahmana. That time the Supreme Lord Krishna takes Arjuna, crosses the material creation, crosses the Viraja, goes to Mahavishnu and Mahavishnu has kidnapped the sons of Brahmanas because Mahavishnu is eager to see the beauty of Krishna. Right. Krishna personally protects his devotees' bodies from all different crises that may come. One time Srila Prabhupada was going in a car and there was a naturopathy doctor who was traveling with Srila Prabhupada. And this doctor was telling Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, if you take this rasa, this health problem will be solved. This rasa, all the naturopathic rasas, right, this health problem will be solved. And he was driving the car. And suddenly when they were on a hill, the brakes failed. And the car was about to crash. Srila Prabhupada said, which rasa will help you now? Right. Which rasa? Prabhupada said, only Harinam rasa. Only Harinam aushadhi will save you now. All of your different rasas are not going to save you. Right. In the Sri Sampradaya, there is a beautiful story. Shripad Ramanujacharya had a disciple and his name was Kuresha. Kuresha had a wife and Kuresha's wife's name was Andal. Andal was also a great devotee of the Lord. Kuresha, being a great devotee of the Lord, was not at all interested in taking care of his body and his family so much. So he would go and he would do madhukari, he would beg, and whatever he would get, he would survive on that. One fine day Kuresha went all over Sri Rangam and did not get anything as bhiksha. Right. From morning till evening, he was hungry. The family was hungry. Right. At that time, Kuresha's wife Andal, she was thinking in her mind. She didn't even make a desire. She simply thought in her mind, what is this Ranganath? My husband is giving his life for you and he has to go hungry like that? Ranganath immediately understood what is going on in the temple. Ranganath told his pujari, called his pujari, the deity spoke, called his pujari and told the pujari, take all the Mahaprasad, all the bhoga that was offered to me on a wonderfully decorated palanquin. There should be chamaras fanning this prasad. There should be royal umbrella that is used for my procession, indicating that personally I have arranged for this prasadam. Like a king would send something royally, this prasad should be put on a palanquin and taken. And immediately the priest took the prasad, put the prasad on a palanquin, and with chamaras spanning the prasad, the royal umbrella to indicate that it is sent by the Lord, the prasad was brought to the house of Kuresha. As soon as Kuresha saw this, Kuresha started chastising his wife. Definitely you must have thought something in your mind, therefore the Lord had to go through this ordeal of sending so much prasadam for me. Kuresha said, take all this prasad back. I do not want the Lord to be in trouble simply for my sake. Simply to maintain my body, he wants to send prasad for me. I don't want to trouble my Lord. But at the same time, the Shastra says that whenever Mahaprasad comes, whatever time Mahaprasad comes, whether it is dry or stale, we like this instruction very much. We should immediately honor it. Right. These are favorite instruction. Whenever Mahaprasad comes, whatever time Mahaprasad comes, we should immediately honor. But if the same Mahaprasad stings a little bit, we say, no, no, not this one, that one. Kuresha said, because Mahaprasad has come, I must honor the Mahaprasad. So Kuresh took only one particular bowl of sweet rice, that is all. He ate that sweet rice some part and he gave the rest of the sweet rice to his wife Andal. And it is explained that Kuresha and Andal never had a physical relationship at all. The sons who were born of Andal were born of the sweet rice that Andal had eaten. And therefore, they were personally considered as children of Lord Ranganath. Their cradle would be put in the altar, right? The cradle of the sons of Andal and Kuresh would be on the altar. And the Lord would personally take care of the children of Kuresh because they were not born of any physical union, but they were born directly by the Lord's mercy as Mahaprasad. We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam the Lord personally protecting the body of Prahlad Maharaj whenever he was in difficulty. But this is only one degree of protection, the basic degree of protection. Sometimes we find a devotee of the Lord, his body is not protected by the Lord. Just like we have the example of Jatayu. Jatayu fought for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ramachandra, and yet he was killed by Ravana. Does it mean that the Lord did not protect him? The body has to be finished sometime or the other, and therefore Jatayu's body now was finished. But the Lord personally protected his devotional service. Dasharatha Maharaj also did not get the honor of being cremated at the hands of the Lord. But the Lord personally cremated the body of Jatayu. Bharat's example is an example that the Lord not only protects the devotee's body, more importantly, the Lord protects the devotee's devotional credits. Right. So Bharat Maharaj was a great devotee. He got attached to a deer. And at the moment of death, thinking of a deer, in his next lifetime he became a deer. But the Lord protected his devotional credits, and therefore Bharat Maharaj could remember that he was actually Maharaj Bharat in his past life. Neha vikramanashosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. On this path there is no loss or diminution. If you stop at 50, in next life you will begin at 51%. Your devotional credits will never be lost. They will be protected by Krishna. Right. The third kind of protection that is given by the Lord is that of one's attitude. Right. Whenever a devotee of the Lord gets the wrong kind of attitude in his mind, the Lord personally arranges that he rectifies his wrong attitude. And the classic example for this is Indra. Indra had started thinking that he is the controller. He is the master. He is the proprietor. And therefore, when all the Brajabasis offered all the bhoga which was meant for Indra Puja to Govardhan, Indra got very angry and started sending the Samavartaka rains to devastate the entire land of Brajabhumi. At that time the Supreme Lord Krishna said, Nahi sadbhava yuktanam suranami shavismaya mattah asatam manabhanga prashamaya upakalpate. Nahi sadbhava yuktanam. Indra is supposed to be sadbhava yukta. He is supposed to have the proper attitude of devotion to me. But he has lost that attitude. Therefore, I will crush his false ego. I will rectify his wrong attitude. And as soon as his wrong attitude is gone, prashamaya, he will feel very peaceful in his heart. Saying so, Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. So when Krishna lifted Govardhan hill, he gave two kinds of protection to two different kinds of devotees. To his Brajabasi devotees, he gave physical protection by bringing them all under Govardhan. And to his devotee Indra, he gave protection by rectifying his attitude. Indra came to a conclusion, I am nothing. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like one devotee was mentioning, that there was one devotee in ISKCON in the early days, and he left devotional service. He was a major leader, a big leader in ISKCON. He left devotional service, he was a Westerner. And today he is propagating this theory that Westerners are not meant for devotional service. Why? Because Westerners have a mlecha body, Westerners don't have this Vedic Vaishnava culture. They cannot practice devotional service. So all Westerners should give up Krishna consciousness. Right. Disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Right. Left Krishna consciousness and is now saying this. So he is giving Western body as an excuse not to practice devotional service. And His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, also born in the Western world, in South Africa, right? His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj says, because I am born in a Western body, not only I have to practice Krishna consciousness, I have to practice Krishna consciousness with double the intensity, right? One is taking the same situation, Western body, and saying, one cannot practice Krishna consciousness. Another person is seeing the same situation and saying that no, because I have a Western body, I must practice devotional service with double the intensity. So Krishna, for a sincere devotee, gives the right kind of attitude and protects his attitude. And once one has the right kind of attitude, one does not fall down. One time Srila Prabhupada was sitting and one of his sannyasi disciples was left, came to meet him. And he was telling Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I feel very embarrassed. I am married now, I was a sannyasi before. Right. I have turned you down. I have become a blot on the ISKCON society. Srila Prabhupada said, never mind. Srila Prabhupada tried to correct his attitude. He said, Krishna consciousness is like playing mridanga. Right. The more you practice, the better you become. Don't worry. Just take Krishna consciousness and just like you take up a mridanga and even if you fail, you pick it up again and practice. One day you will be proficient. Although you have left sannyas, no problem. Continue practicing Krishna consciousness like you practice playing of mridanga. One day will come when you will become proficient on the path of Krishna consciousness. So the fourth topic that is discussed in Bhagavatam is Poshanam, or protection of a devotee. Protection of a devotee's body, protection of a devotee's credits, and protection of a devotee's attitude. The fifth topic that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Utayaha, or material desires. How this world is brought about? Because of our desire to be separate from Krishna. Right. Therefore it is said that Kshutrit Asha Kutumbinya Mai Jivatina Chanyaga Tasam Asha Maha Asadvi Kadachit Maam Namunchati. A person is saying, I have three wives. Right. And what are the names of my three wives? Kshut, hunger. Trit, thirst. And Asha, desire. These three are my wives. Kshut, Trit, Asha, Kutumbinya. This is my Kutumba. This is my family. My three wives. Right. Out of these three wives, they just keep pestering me all the time. And I know each of our wife is troubling us now. And we are waiting when we will satisfy our first wife, hunger. When will Mahaprasad prayer be chanted? Right. All of these three wives never leave us. Out of these three wives, the most chaste wife is Asha. Tasam Asha Mahasadhvi. Mahasadhvi means she is really, really chaste. Why? Because when you feed hunger, hunger will go away for some time. Picha chhod degi. Right. If you satisfy your thirst by drinking some water, that wife will also leave you for some time. But this wife, Asha, Tasam Asha Mahasadvi, Kadachit Maam Namunchati, never gives me up. Ye patni kabhi mera picha nahi chhodti. Right. Constantly is all the time, just right there with me, on the top of my head, and pestering me like anything. Right. One time, there was an angel, and this angel came in front of a statue. Right. A bust. And the angel said to the statue, if I put back your life into you, what desire will you make? He said, my desire will be only one thing. You give me some sword by which I'll kill all the pigeons who are just dropping all their shit on my head. That is my only desire. Right. Even if a dead man is brought to life, what desire will he make? Srila Prabhupada said that all material existence is simply because of our material desire. One time a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, why did Krishna create Maya? Prabhupada got angry, he shouted back, rascal, Krishna didn't create Maya, you created Maya. Now he was more perplexed. How did I create Maya? Krishna created Maya, okay, how did I create Maya? So Prabhupada said, if you wouldn't have desired to enjoy separate from Krishna, Krishna wouldn't have to create this material energy for you. because you desired to enjoy separate from Krishna, therefore now Yoga Maya has become Mahamaya for you. Prabhupada would very often say, one should not even be attached to eating a gulab jamun, otherwise one will be born as a cockroach in the next lifetime, in the dhiti kitchen, to taste some gulab jamun. Right? One has to be very careful of making material desires. Srila Prabhupada was one time walking on a morning walk at Beverly Hills, and Bhavanand Prabhu was going behind him. And Beverly Hills is a place, you know, hep area, all nice apartments, such wonderful climate. And Prabhupada was going, and Bhavanand Prabhu's eyes were going here and there, you see, looking completely impressed by the opulence around. And he was thinking, nice place, you see. So many desires come up in the heart. So Srila Prabhupada came in front of a specially beautiful edifice, right? He saw this mansion, everything was first class, well-maintained gardens, Italian marble all over. Such a beautiful place. Prabhupada came in front of this and then right. Prabhupada saw this house and just did this and spat on it. And Bhavanand Prabhu understood. I got the answer to my question. Right. This material world is simply a place to spit upon. We may be attracted by all of the attractive packaging of this material world, but we should not make a mistake of having any material desire. So the Srimad Bhagavatam explains those who made material desires, how their material desires were frustrated. Pururava and Urvashi, Puranjan Upakhyan, all of their desires finished, frustrated, how they are suffering. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains, no problem. Even if you have material desires, at least go to the Supreme Lord. Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udaradi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushaparam. Even if you have material desires, go to the Supreme Lord Krishna. Your desires will be fulfilled. And Bhagavad gives the example of Dhruva, who had a material desire to get a kingdom greater than his great grandfather Brahma. He went to Krishna, his desire was fulfilled. Right. But Bhagavatam gives us what we should really desire for. We should simply desire for the loving service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. No other desire. And therefore when Prahlad was being benedicted by Lord Narsingadev, Lord Narsingadev said, my dear son Prahlad, tell me, what do you want? What was Prahlad's reply? Mama pralobhaya yotpatya saktam kameshita irvare matsanga bhita nirvinno mumukshastamupashrita. My dear Lord, mama pralobhaya, mujhe pralobhan mat dikhaiye. Don't allure me by saying, take these benedictions. Why? Saktam kameshu. Already my heart is so much attached to material enjoyment. Why? Utpatya. I am born in an asurkul, my dear Lord. My heart is filled with material desires. And on top of that, you are saying, what you want? It is like a doctor telling a patient. A doctor is coming, a patient comes with cough. And doctor asks, you want ice cream? What will it, what benefit will it do to the patient? My dear Lord, you are giving any benedictions to me is like a doctor's giving a thing which is harmful to a patient. I do not want any of these things. Thus, desire in one shape and form can make us bound in this world. Desire in another shape and form can make us liberated from this world. Just like water was the cause for Titanic to go on its voyage. And the same water in another shape and form as the iceberg was the cause for Titanic to sink. Same water in two different forms. Liquid form floats the ship. In a solid form makes the ship sink. Same desire in a material form causes bondage. In a spiritual form causes liberation from this world. So the Srimad Bhagavatam describes material desire, describes material desire and approach to Krishna, and describes spiritual desire, simply desire to serve the lotus feet of Krishna. The sixth topic that is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Manvantaraha. In one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And each of these 14 Manus, each of this particular Manu when he appears, the period for which he rules is called a Manvantara. Right. Just like there is a Vaivasvata Manu, and then this is Vaivasvata Manvantara. Right. So there are different Manvantars, and a particular personality called a Manu rules over this Manvantara. In one day of Brahma, there are 14 manvantars, which mean there are 14 manus. And in each of this manvantara, the Supreme Lord comes and takes a specific incarnation. That subject matter is also described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The different manvantaras and how the Supreme Lord came and incarnated, like during the reign of Vaivasvata Manu, the Supreme Lord incarnated as Vaman Avatar. So all that description is also given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, different manvantara avatars. The seventh topic that is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavat is Ishanukatha. Ishanukatha means the description of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The beauty of the Lord, the interaction of the Lord with His devotees. Right. All the description of the glories of the Lord is found in the 12 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 30 major incarnations described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Their transcendental birth, activities, their glories are given in intricate details. Thus, anyone who wants freedom from material miseries should take to the hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ishanukatha, the glories of the Lord mentioned in the Bhagavatam. The Siddhas are praying to the Lord and saying, Ayam Tvatkatha Mrishta Piyushanadhyam Manovarana Klesha Davagnidagda. My dear Lord, our mind is like an elephant. Manovarana. The mind of every living being is just like an elephant. And this entire world, material world, is like a forest fire, Davagni. And when we are in this material world, we are being burnt by the miseries of material existence. We are being tormented by troubles, miseries and distresses that come our way. Just like an elephant's body is being burned by the flames of the forest fire, our minds are being burned by the flames of the miseries of material existence. But just like an elephant, when it comes out of the forest fire and enters, jumps into a flowing river with cool water, his body gets completely pacified and solaced. Similarly, very good for me, they are telling that the drama devotees will get ready by 3 o'clock. Right. So, I was planning to finish by 2:45. So, by the time the drama devotees get ready, it's very good for me. Correct. I can discuss in great details what I was supposed to discuss. You can imagine, now I have started speeding up. In the initial 4 subjects, I was quite elaborate. And as soon as now the clock is ticking, I have started speeding up. So, thanks to the drama devotees that they are getting ready by 3. So, we'll continue meanwhile. Correct. So, So the elephant, when it jumps into the cooling waters of the flowing river, then the elephant's body finds complete solace. Right. So Siddhas are saying, our minds are like an elephant and the miseries of material existence are like the flames of the forest fire. We are fatigued, we are tortured, we are exhausted in this material world, and this is the experience of every single one of us. Our minds are totally exhausted and fatigued, distressed by the miseries of material existence. So the Siddhas are saying, my dear Lord, your katha, your topics, Ishanukatha, is just like a river. But it's not just a river, Piyushanadhyam, it is a river of nectar. And therefore, just like an elephant jumps into a river to get solace from its fire burns, let our mind like elephants jump into the rivers of nectar, your katha, Ishanukatha, your glories. If our mind is completely absorbed in your katha, we will not realize the miseries of material existence that are tormenting us. Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita from Lord Sri Krishna, right? He heard the Gita, that was katha, Krishna directly spoke. But what was the conclusion of Arjuna? Nashto moho, smritir lobdhva, tvat prasadat mayachyuta. Sthitosmi gata sandeha, karishye vachanam tava. I have heard everything from you, my dear Lord. Now I will do what you say. The effect of hearing Ishanukatha is what? To start following what the Lord has asked us to do. Similarly, when we hear Ishanukatha, the effect should be, we should be engaged in devotional service to the Lord. Hanumanji, he went to Lanka. When he went to Lanka, he was on the top of an Ashoka tree in Ashoka 1. And Sita Devi was sitting under this Ashoka tree. At that time, Ravana came. And Ravana started threatening Sita that if you do not become mine, I shall kill you. I shall eat you for my breakfast tomorrow. So you better agree to my proposal and marry me. Sita Devi started preaching to Ravana. She said, I am nothing else but a servant to the Supreme Lord Shri Ram. And therefore, I cannot even think of marrying you. Get lost from here. Now the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas explained, this was a major paradigm shift for Hanuman. Right? Hanuman was sitting on top of the tree. And Hanuman was hearing what Sita Devi was speaking. Sita Devi's discourse was meant for the benefit of Ravana. But Ravana was not benefited. Hanuman was. Till this day, whenever Hanuman would go in front of Ram and Lakshmana, he would say, Namastu Ramaya sa Lakshmanaya. Namastu Ramaya. O Ram, I offer my obeisances unto you. O Lakshmana, I offer my obeisances to you. God, you are great. Like in US, they have this statement, God is great. Or in God we trust. But recently Kirti Raj Prabhu was telling that what is their meaning when they say God, in God we trust? G-O-D, God. G means gas, O means oil, and D means defense. This is a fact. Many of the US people believe when they say in God we trust, which means we trust in our gas reserves, oil reserves, and in our defense. Correct. So there is no meaning to simply saying God is great. But Hanuman was till this point of time only saying, God is great. Namastu Ramaya Salakshmanaya. But when the Divine Mother's discourse was heard by Hanumanji, now there was a paradigm shift. Now when he came in front of Ram and Lakshman, his prayer was, Dasoham Kushalendrasya Ramaya Aklishta Karmana. These verses come in the Valmiki Ramayana. Now he did not just say, Namastu Ramaya sa Lakshmanaya. Okay Ram, you are great. Okay Lakshman, you are great. That's all okay. But what is my identity? Dasoham Kushalendrasya Ramaya Namastute. I am a servant of the Supreme Lord. When does one get that understanding? When one hears from Sita Devi. Till the time Hanuman did not hear from Sita Devi this discourse, he was only thinking of God as great. But when he heard from Sita Devi this particular identity that I am a servant Ravana, you can't do anything to me, I won't succumb to you. At that time, Hanuman came to this conclusion that I am simply your servant. And he started engaging in service to the Lord. So much so that when Hanumanji found out the traces of Mother Sita, where Sita was, and as he was flying back to Rishaymukh Parvat, he saw Lord Ramachandra. And when he saw Lord Ramachandra, he wanted to immediately tell Lord Ramachandra, wanted to serve him by completely dispelling his agony of what happened to Sita Devi. So immediately Hanuman started shouting, Found Sita I! Found Sita I! Found Sita I! Lord Ram was ecstatic. He was jubilant. He called Hanumanji, said, Thank you for the good news. Sit down for a moment. And he said to Hanumanji, By the way, have you forgotten the lessons of grammar? What is this found Sita I? You don't know what is grammar? Of course, he didn't say this in English. Right. Right. What is this found Sita I? Hanumanji now explained, My dear Lord, I was thinking, if I say, I found Sita, you will have to wait for a moment till the time I say I. You will not come to know what has happened to Sita. Right. Till that one, for that one moment, as I am saying I, you will still have a question mark in your heart, what happened to Sita? I found or I not found? What? So I didn't want you to go through this distress. Therefore, first I said found. Right. Which means the mission accomplished. Mission fatte. Right. Okay. So mission is fatte. Ram asked Hanuman, okay, you said found, but why didn't you say found I Sita then? Why did you say found Sita I? He said, if I would have said found I Sita, that would mean I did something. My ego would be there. Therefore I said first found Sita and then Dasoham Kushalendrasya Ramaya.
namostute. I offer my obeisances to Ram and I am simply a servant. Therefore, the spiritual master is the representative of the divine energy, Sita Devi, of the Ladini Shakti. And supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Ram, Sri Krishna, is our worshipable master. But only when we take shelter of the spiritual master, only when we hear from the spiritual master Ishanu Katha, then we get the right conclusion. Ishanu Katha cannot get just the right conclusion unless we hear from a bona fide spiritual master. Just like Hanuman heard from Sita Devi and then his conclusion about Isha, the Supreme Lord, was correct. Similarly, when we hear from a bona fide spiritual master, Harikatha, then and only then can we actually understand the conclusions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada was one time giving a lecture in Hindi. Mahakratu Prabhu, Hamsadutta Maharaj and several other Western disciples were sitting. As soon as Srila Prabhupada began his lecture in Hindi, all of these Western disciples got up and started leaving the place. Srila Prabhupada called Mahakratu Prabhu and said, "Where are all of them going?" Said, "Prabhupada, your lecture is in Hindi. They don't understand anything." Srila Prabhupada said, "Hindi, English, German, French, any language. Everyone should simply sit and hear. Because it is not what you understand that is important. It is the potency of the Ishanu Katha that is transferred to the agency of the spiritual master that is important. It will have a purifying effect on the consciousness when it is heard." Srila Prabhupada said, "If you don't sit here, you will just wander around here and there. What benefit will you get?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "When my Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would speak, many times I would not understand anything. But still, I would just sit there and hear. Because the Ishanu Katha that comes from the lotus lips of the spiritual master, when it is given submissive oral reception within the heart, that Katha has the potency to purify the heart. Srimad Bhagavat speaks of that Ishanu Katha which must be heard from the lotus lips of a bona fide spiritual master, like Hanumanji heard from the lotus lips of the Divine Mother Sri Sita Devi. One time there was a circus and a man came to the circus. He was a violin player. The man told the ringmaster, "I have a peculiarity in playing violin. If I play a certain raga on my violin, it starts raining. When I play a certain raga on my violin, I want to make the person who is sitting in front of me dance, he starts dancing automatically. If I play a raga on my violin, I can make any wild animal dance." Right. So, the ringmaster said, "Okay, no problem. Let us try this out." So the ringmaster brought his Pomeranian dogs and this man sat down, eyes closed, started playing a raga and the Pomeranian dog started dancing. Then the ringmaster brought a gorilla. He started playing his raga and the gorilla started dancing. After that, the ringmaster brought a ferocious tiger. And this person was so absorbed in playing his raga, eyes closed, he did not realize what dance the tiger was doing. The tiger, as this man opened his eyes, he saw that the tiger was looking at him, giving him ferocious looks. And the tiger started chasing the man, running after him. Right. The man was running, the tiger was running. And finally the ringmaster somehow ran and caught the tiger and put the tiger in cage. This man offered his dandavat pranam to the ringmaster. He said, "You had said I can't make all animals dance, that is true. But I am not able to figure out why this happened. The dog danced, the gorilla danced, the elephant danced. Why did the tiger not dance?" Ringmaster said that the tiger is deaf. Right. Understand. You are playing that raga, your raga is very potent. And definitely your raga has the potency to make the tiger dance, but the tiger does not hear. Unfortunately, most of us are like these tigers, right? Our pinna, what they call as the pinna, right? The external ears are wide open. But internally, we have put filters and we have become deaf. Ishanu Katha is like the raga of the violin. Just like the raga of the violin has the potency to make a ferocious tiger dance, Ishanu Katha has the potency to make our heart dance. Dayal Nitai Chaitanya bole nacharaya marman. Right. Our heart can dance in ecstasy. Our heart can be completely purified. But we are hearing Bhagavat Katha now and thinking, when lecture will end? When Mahaprasada Govind will start? Right.
We are thinking, when will this boring katha get over? Right. We are thinking like that. No purification, no ecstasy is felt. Why? Because really speaking, we are deaf. Externally, our ears are open and our ears are closed internally. Therefore, although Ishanu Katha has potency, still we are not giving submissive oral reception. Prabhupada coined this phrase. Oral reception means hearing. But submissive oral reception means hearing from within. Submitting oneself to the spiritual master and hearing. And then Ishanu Katha has its full potency. Then the next is, 8th topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Nirodha. Nirodha means pralaya or annihilation. Now it's surprising, we get only this information only in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Prabhupada's purports. I only heard of a pralaya, that's all. I never knew that there are different kinds of pralaya. The 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam describes 4 different types of pralaya. Right. What are these 4 pralaya? First is Nitya Pralaya, second is Naimittika Pralaya, third is Prakritika Pralaya, and fourth is Atyantika Pralaya. Right. What are these different pralayas? First is Nitya Pralaya. Nitya Pralaya means constantly every moment there is pralaya going on. Where? In our bodies. Our bodies are constantly degenerating and crushing down to the ultimate end of death. Nitya Pralaya means degradation of the body. Right. One time, a child asked his grandfather, "My dear grandfather, why is it that the hair on your head is, grey, white, and the hair of your moustache is black?" But the grandfather said, "Because the hair on my moustache is 20 years younger to the hair on my head, right? Because I got a moustache only when I was about 18, 20 years, right?" But the fact of the matter is that the body continuously is degenerating. Right. And this is called Nitya Pralaya. The second type of pralaya is called Naimittika Pralaya. Naimittika Pralaya means Brahmaji sits and he is there on his lotus flower, and sometimes when Brahmaji goes to sleep, bete-bete, one jhapki. I see that happening all the time. Right. It's a very nice place to see how Naimittika Pralaya could be going on there. You sit here and you observe, you find what Brahmaji is doing there. So Brahmaji goes to sleep, dozes off, and as soon as Brahmaji goes to sleep, the waters of inundation destroy a few planetary systems. That is called Naimittika Pralaya or destruction. Then there is Prakritika Pralaya. Prakritika Pralaya means when Mahavishnu inhales, when all the universes go within, that is when Brahma's lifespan is finished. The day Brahma dies, all the universes will go within the body of Mahavishnu. And that is called as Prakritika Pralaya. One time Vishveshatirtha Swami Maharaj, the Mathadish of Pejavar Math in Udupi, he was giving a beautiful discourse and he was explaining that Krishna can be understood to be Pita. Right. Why? Because he gives birth to all of us. Right? Aham Bija Prada Pita. Krishna can be understood to be Pati, husband. Because he maintains all of us. He provides everything for our maintenance. But how can we say Tomeva Mata Cha Pita Tomeva? How can we say Krishna is Mata? Which Mata will destroy the facilities for his child? Right. He is destroying everything. All the world is, creation is annihilated. Is this Mata? What kind of a cruel Mata? Child has got his toys and mother takes one hammer and breaks the toys to pieces. Right. What is this kind of Mata? People in this world are trying to enjoy and Krishna is destroying this world. This is not Mata. How is Krishna a Mata in spite of creating pralaya? And Pejavar Swami gave a beautiful example to illustrate this point. He said, just like when the young child gets up in the morning sometimes and keeps playing, 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 and the child is very much fatigued, very much tired. So mother says, "Come on, darling, no more playing." And the mother picks up the child and puts it in the cradle and puts the child to sleep. And when the child is to sleep, then the mother sings a lullaby song and the child is fast asleep. The next morning the child again gets up and again starts his play. Next night again puts the child to sleep because he is very fatigued and tired. Can't keep playing all the time. The child is fatigued. The child is tired. Pejavar Swami was explaining, all of us are like the children of the Lord. And what is our game we are playing? The game we are playing is trying to lord it over material nature. trying to make it here in this world. But we keep playing and 100 times we are being defeated. Yet we continue playing. So at the end of Brahma's life, the mother, Krishna thinks, अरे बेचारे मेरे बच्चे बहुत थक गए हैं, सो जाना चाहिए. So all the universes go into the body of Mahavishnu and all the living beings also go in the body of Mahavishnu. The body of Mahavishnu is like a cradle. Take rest for some time. You have tried to lord it over for a long time. Please relax for some time. And then, when Mahavishnu exhales again, all the universes come out again and all the living beings again, phir se game shuru.
Right.
Again, after 100 years of Brahma, when the creation is destroyed, there is Prakritika Pralaya, again the living beings go in the body of Mahavishnu. In this way, Bhutva, Bhutva, Praliyate. Again, there is creation and destruction. So the Lord is a great mother actually. Gives us some rest. Rest from our job of lording it over material nature. So Nitya Pralaya, Naimittika Pralaya, there is Prakritika Pralaya, and finally, there is Atyantika Pralaya. And Atyantik Pralaya is the discussion of the ninth subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the ninth subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Mukti or liberation. So, there are several kinds of muktis or mokshas that are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sayujya Mukti, Sarupya Mukti, Sarishti Mukti, Salokya Mukti and Samipya Mukti. Sayujya Mukti means going and becoming one with the Lord. Sarupya Mukti means getting the same form like that of the Lord. Salokya means to get the same planet as the Lord. Samipya means getting a place very close to the Lord. Samipa, Samipya. And Sarishti means getting the opulences of the Lord. But what is real Mukti? Real mukti is not to achieve any of these. Real mukti is to simply serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Muktir hitva anyatha rupam swarupena vyavasthiti. Give up your material body and go back to the spiritual world and start serving the Lord in one's spiritual body. Right. That is real mukti. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati swarga apavarga narkeshu api tulyartha darshina. Whether he is in hell, he'll continue serving Krishna. Whether he is in heaven, he'll continue serving Krishna. Whether he gets liberated, he'll continue serving Krishna. Service to Krishna is the goal of life. Recently someone was telling me a nice story that he said, hypothetical story, that Bill Gates was dead. Right. And when Bill Gates was dead, Bill Gates was brought to St. Peter. In the Christian world, there is this concept of St. Peter, like our Yamaraj. Right. And when he was brought to St. Peter, St. Peter asked Bill Gates, where do you want to go? You want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell? He said, give me a glimpse first. Right, give me a trailer. So he was taken to hell first. And in hell, Bill Gates saw there are nice sandy beaches, you know, nice sun and beautiful women and everything is so conducive for enjoyment. And then he was taken to heaven. And in heaven he found there was not much. There were some birds chirping and something going on here and there. So he told St. Peter, I want to go to hell. So he went to hell. After a few days, St. Peter came there. And Bill Gates started shouting on the top of his voice, what is this nonsense? You cheated me. Right? You cheated me. You put me in hell. Where are those sandy beaches? Where is that sunny beach? Where are those beautiful women? There is only suffering here. St. Peter replied very coolly. He said, that was just the screensaver. Right? That was simply the beginning, just the screensaver. Reality is not like that. Right? So everyone is very much concerned whether to go to heaven, whether to go to hell. But a devotee of the Lord is not concerned. One time a man came back home very early and the wife asked the husband, why did you come early from office today? He said, the boss told me go to hell. Therefore I came early from office today. Right. I just came early from office today because my boss told me go to hell. Right. Everyone is very much concerned not to go to hell, not to go to heaven, what will happen if I go here. A devotee of the Lord, what is his mukti? His mukti is wherever I am, I simply want to continue serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. There was a Sri Vaishnava, very great devotee of the Lord. And he was found one day fiddling with a snake. There was a thorn that was caught in the neck, in the throat of the snake. This was in Tirupati, on the Tirumala hills. And this devotee, he was trying to put his hand in the mouth of the snake and pull out the thorn. So another devotee came there and said to this devotee, what is this going on? Are you not afraid? You see, if you put your hand, the snake is a venomous snake, the snake will kill you, you will be dead. Govind, this particular devotee said, what is the problem with this? No problem. If the venom of the snake is less stronger than my bodily immunity, I will live in this world, take my bath in the kund of Shri Pushkarini and continue serving the Lord of Tirumala Hills, Balaji. Right. And if the venom of the snake is more stronger than my immunity, I will be dead. Then I will go to Vaikuntha Loka and I will go to Viraja River, take bath in the Viraja River and continue serving the Lord of Vaikuntha. What difference it makes to me? If I live here or if I go there, service is guaranteed. Right. Srila Prabhupada was that personality who without discriminating gave us all the opportunity to serve the Lord. Prithu Prabhu was explaining Srila Prabhupada made a Jurassic Park. ISKCON is like a Jurassic Park, different species from different countries, all brought together, right. And Srila Prabhupada made them into pure Vaishnavas, right. Once there was a man who was going to a temple to pray to God and the priest of that temple refused. You can't get entry because you are born in a low class family. He felt very bad, but the priest was thinking, how will I convey this to this person? So the priest said, he didn't say I will not allow you. He said, you go and pray to God tonight and ask God if I can enter in the temple. If God tells you go in the temple, we will allow you to come in the temple. The priest was thinking, how will he do that? Which means he can't come in the temple. So the next day the man came. So the priest said, did you talk to God? He said, yes. What did God say? God said, don't go to the temple. He said, what? Priest said, God said, don't go to the temple? Yes, God said, don't go to the temple. Why? So, this man replied back and said, God told me yesterday night when I spoke to him, that for the last 35 years since they made this temple, they didn't allow me inside the temple. How will they allow you to come in the temple? Yeah. Yeah. No way that you can enter into the temple. For there are big, big, huge temples outside, and there is big, big murtis there, but God has not been allowed to enter in the temple till now. Srila Prabhupada made his Hare Krishna temples and Srila Prabhupada made Krishna come and reside here. He gave us all the opportunity regardless of our caste, sex, community and nationality to engage in devotional service to Him. And by engaging in devotional service to Him, mukti, that is the ninth topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Go back to Godhead and serve Him there. Therefore, when Dhruva Maharaj practiced devotional service to the Lord, what happened? Then Dhruva Maharaj reached the perfection of his devotional service. It is explained, Tada uttana pada putro dadarsha agatamantakam mrityum murdhni padam dutva aruroha adbhutagriham. The Vaikuntha Vimana, Vaikuntha Airlines came there, right? And as Vaikuntha Airlines flight landed, Dhruva Maharaj saw death personified come in front of him. And Dhruva Maharaj was thinking, Are the Vaikuntha Airlines, there is no staircase to go up. How will I board this flight? So what did Dhruva Maharaj do? Mrityur Murdhni Padam Dattva. Mrityu Murdhni Padam Dattva. He kept his foot on the head of death personified and climbed up Vaikuntha Airlines and went back to Godhead. This is real mukti. Conquering death and going back to Godhead to engage in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the last, the tenth topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the conclusion of all, the Samam Bonam, the Ashraya Tattva given in the tenth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parikshit Maharaj heard the nine cantos and in the nine cantos he heard the first nine subjects. Right. And then finally, Parikshit Maharaj was now prepared to hear about the personal life of Krishna. To hear about Krishna's Makhan Chor Leela, to hear about Krishna's Ras Leela, to hear about Krishna's Dwarka Leela, after hearing the nine cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the tenth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Ashraya Tattva. How Krishna reciprocates with the gopis of Vrindavan. How Krishna reciprocates with the gopas in Vrindavan. How Krishna reciprocates in Vatsalya Ras with his mother and father. How Krishna reciprocates with his devotees in Shantaras. This is the subject matter for the 10th canto and this is called the Ashraya Tattva. And very soon we are celebrating Janmashtami. So for the last few weeks we have been hearing about the Ashraya Tattva, Krishna Tattva. Krishna's qualities were spoken by Urmila Mataji and several devotees were talking about Krishna Leela. Gaurang Prabhu is speaking on Wednesday about Krishna Janma. I thought it would be very relevant to first decide to be qualified to hear the Ashraya Tattva. Unless we are well versed with the 9 tattvas of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are not qualified to hear the Ashraya Tattva. Therefore, Krishna is that personality who reciprocates in a very unique way. It is said, Braje Prasiddham Navanita Chauram. In Braja, he is popular as Navanita Chauram, butter thief. Gopanganam Chadukula Chauram. He is very famous as for stealing the clothes of the gopis, but he is also famous for Aneka Janmar Jita Papa Chauram. All the sins that have come in our life, he also steals away all those sins. And therefore, Chauragra Ganyam Purusham Namami. He who is the greatest of all thieves, I offer my obeisances to him. Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Chauram. He steals away the heart of Srimati Radharani. Navam Buddha Shamala Kanti Chauram. And his blackish complexion, he steals it from the cloud. I want your blackish complexion. So he's a chore there also. Padashritanam cha samasta chauram. He steals everything from his devotees away. Chauragra Ganyam Purusham Namami. Such Chauragra Ganyam Purush, I offer my obeisances unto him. Right. And then he is explaining, this particular devotee is praying to Krishna and explaining that, my dear Lord, you have taken away everything from me. Dhanam cha manam cha tathendriyani. You have taken my dhana, you have taken my man, you have taken everything away from me. Now you are my culprit. You are the thief, I am the policeman. Right. You can't run away. Palayasi kutra drutodya. Where are you running? I have got the shackles now. The shackles of the rope of bhakti. Tvam bhakti damnasi mayani baddha. Now I will capture you with the ropes of devotional service. And once I capture you, will I leave you like that only? No. Man manase tamasa rashi ghore karagrahe. My mind is filled with darkness, and that is the best prison house for you to come in. Because you have stolen away everything from me, I punish you now. I will bind you with the rope of devotional service and imprison you in my tamasa rashi ghore karagraha. In the prison which is filled with darkness. And this is the uchit danda for you. I am telling you, all the different crimes you have committed by stealing so many things from my life, pralaya koti shatantarepi, till pralaya, I am not going to release you. Which means you have to be imprisoned in my heart for all the time. This is Krishna's ashraya tattva discussed in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So to conclude, we will briefly summarize in 2 minutes what we discussed this afternoon. We discussed that the Srimad Bhagavatam has 10 topics. First is sarga. And in sarga, there are 3 things. Planning, purpose, and the ingredients for creation. Done by Mahavishnu. Second is visarga, or secondary creation. Who does the job? Brahma takes all of it together and puts it together. Third was sthanam, or maintenance. Krishna maintains and protects every living entity in this world. Poshanam refers to specific maintenance and protection of devotees. Krishna protects the devotee's body sometimes. He protects the devotional credits of the devotee. And mainly he protects the devotional attitude of a devotee. The 5th topic we discussed was utayah, or material desires. How desires lead to frustration. The same desires, when spiritualized, can lead to liberation from this material universe. The 6th topic in the Bhagavatam is manvantara, the different manvantara avatars. 7th topic is Ishanukatha, the glories of the Lord described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right. And only when we hear Ishanukatha from a bona fide representative of the Lord, like Hanuman heard from Sita Devi, then we will get the desired benefit of Ishanukatha. The 8th topic is Nirodha, or the 4 kinds of annihilation or pralaya. Nitya pralaya, Naimittik pralaya, Prakritika pralaya, and last is Atyantika pralaya, which is the 9th topic, or Mukti. Liberation. Mukti for a devotee means service here, service wherever he goes, whether in hell, heaven, or in the spiritual world. And the last is, 10th topic is the relationship of Krishna, his personal life, his relationship with gopis, his relationship with gopas, which forms the 10th topic, or the Ashraya Tattva. And all of this has come to us simply by the mercy of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is the Bhaktivedanta purports that throw light upon all of these topics and help us to understand the Bhagavat Tattva so that we can engage in devotional service to Krishna. So I would like to thank all of you for kindly giving submissive oral reception to the subject matter of the 10 topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And I would also like to take this opportunity to beg forgiveness from any and every devotee, knowingly or unknowingly. If any offense has been committed, kindly forgive these offenses. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Gantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So now we have a very interesting presentation today, which was presented on the 25th print.